Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery. Hi everyone, we're wrapping up season two with an episode that I think will leave a huge smile upon your faces. As today, I'm speaking to Nicole from House of Form Lab, also known by her fabulous witchy persona, that is Madame Formtastica. To be honest, I think we all need to create a fabulous witchy persona for ourselves, don't you? So Nicole is here to chat to me today about growing up surrounded with magic and how that's allowed her to bring spell work and rituals into her everyday life. During the podcast, we discuss casting spells to call in money and abundance, the difference between what a spell and a ritual is, ways to work with other magical tools like Florida water and prosperity jars, and also the importance of building up other women in the spiritual space. If you don't already know about House of Form Lab, my favourite magic shop, which is based in Amsterdam, well, quite frankly, where have you been all season? But I'm just kidding. But seriously, both Nicole and Kat, who own the shop, have been such a huge source of inspiration and support throughout my own spiritual journey and also supporting this podcast. So today's episode is sponsored by House of Form Lab, but to be honest, the sponsorship is something that has just allowed me to elevate my magical practices throughout the season even more, and for that I'm so grateful. And one of my favourite little magic spells that I was inspired to create and write after this episode, after hearing Nicole's wisdom, is for calling in abundance. So, this is how it goes. I'll first get into a little ritual space of lighting a green prosperity candle under the new moon at home. And then I'll shake my little prosperity jar filled with gold and I'll say three times, by the power inside of me, I call upon to receive abundance and prosperity. And I'll say that three times. And you'll hear throughout this episode that before chatting to Nicole, I was so afraid to speak incantations out loud. And now that's quite a different story. So after this episode, I really invite you to get creative, start writing down your own spells and feel into and create your own magic. All right, we're ending the season with a truly magical one. So here we go. So, hey, Nicole, how are you doing today?
Hey, Amy. I'm good. I was really looking forward to this.
Yes. Likewise, I'm really excited for this one. So I think, yeah, we're going to talk today about creating and casting modern magic spells, which is a topic really new to me, actually. Or maybe we'll go through and discover some little hidden gems. But I think overall, super new. So really excited to have you here, Nicole. And maybe we can just start by asking quite a powerful question, but what does magic mean to you?
Yep. That's a biggie, yeah?
It's a biggie.
Actually, magic is everything. It's everything. It's everywhere. It's in everybody. So yeah, magic is my way of life without making it too big or too heavy, but it is what structures my day. Mm-hmm. I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is a meditation. I pull a card, so my whole day actually is structured around my magical practice.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you really do, because I know this, because we're always up together at the same time in the morning really early. Yeah. And then I said to you the other day, Nicole, why are you always up so early? And I was like, I am as well. But you're like, yeah, you're sitting down, you carve that time out for yourself, don't you, in the morning?
Yep. Yes, yeah. I really do. I mean, I used to not be an early bird, but the last few years, I'm getting better at it. And I just like that silent morning. Mm-hmm. It has magic about it.
Yeah.
Everything is still quiet. The world is not, the energy is still low. And it's, yeah, I really enjoy that time. And I'm not rigid. Eh? It's not like I have this strict regime that I have to go through, but I do like to spend my mornings.
Yeah, setting up that way. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thanks for the description of that with the magic. And I'd love to know a bit more about you, Nicole, because obviously I know you from the shop, House of Form in Amsterdam. And I think I've known you for at least a year now. But it's only recently that I discovered this kind of side to you that we're going to talk about today, which is Vinti magic and casting magic spells. And you're a Scorpio sister. You're very secretive in nature. So it does mean a lot that you're going to be sharing your wisdom with me today, because I know that you're also quite, you know, I know you love to talk about magic, but also at the same time, there's a lot of depth to you that a lot of people don't know. So I really appreciate you being here and opening up. So maybe to kind of start with the Vinti magic and its tradition, I understand is rooted in West Africa, but maybe for, you know, like me, I know a little bit just from Googling, but for others, maybe that they would like to know a bit more about the Vinti magic specifically. Could you explain what that is and also how it's played a role for you in your life?
Yeah. It's hard to explain Vinti in a nutshell. It's a really complex belief system. Mm-hmm. And even though I grew up with the Vinti tradition and the Vinti religion, I still am not an expert on it because there's so many things to it. So that's one thing I want to like address to that. I grew up with it, but it doesn't necessarily means I'm an expert.
Yeah.
Vinti is an Afro-Surinamese tradition brought by the enslaved people from Africa to Suriname. Mm-hmm. And after slavery was abolished, the Christian culture was forced actually upon them. So there are partly Christian aspects to the tradition, and there are African voodoo parts to the tradition. So it's really became a mix up of two religions. Yeah, so when I was 15, I was a runaway kid.
Were you?
And I ended up living with a Surinamese family.
Okay.
I was about 14 or 15 years. And my second mom, she was a Vinti priestess.
Okay.
And since I was young, but I was the oldest girl in the household because the other guy were older boys. And then my sister was younger than I am. So for her, it made sense to teach me first, because it's like from a female tradition, you always teach the girls.
Okay.
So she taught me a lot about the practice, and I was amazed because I come from an atheist family. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about spirituality. And here comes this beautiful woman knowing so much about traditions and rituals, and she was doing all these secretive things with candles and herbs, and I was amazed. And wow. So that was really funny.
Wow. And how long, so you, where were you staying with the family in Suriname?
No, here.
Oh, here. Okay.
In Amsterdam. And I lived with them for almost 10 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so for a very long time.
Yeah.
So she taught me a lot about rituals, about how to manipulate situations, how to set up a safe space. Mm-hmm. And she was a very, very cultural woman. She was also interested in Kabbalah.
Okay.
And other spiritual practices. So we've been talking a lot also about different ways of looking at it.
Yeah.
What I really appreciate about her, that she was not a very rigid person. Mm-hmm. So she also helped me open up my mind for other religions. And that's how I discovered witchcraft.
Yeah, beautiful. So yeah. It kind of your passion for witchcraft really kind of stemmed from the Vinti traditions, right?
Yeah. I actually believe it's all the same.
Yeah.
I recognize so many rituals, so many objects that we use, so many belief systems. I think it's all stemming, you know, from that one source, and it depends on where you grow up.
Yeah.
Which tools you use, which herbs you use, which booze, which...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's beautiful as well that you, you know, kind of had that experience. I mean, and You said that she, you know, the lady that you lived with, your second mum. So this tradition is that you kind of pass this this wisdom down to other women. Do you think that's sort of also, would you say that's how you're and what you're doing today as well?
Definitely, definitely. Nice that you asked that, because ever since she taught me, and I was like, since my 20s, I knew that this was my soul's purpose.
Oh.
I knew that I had to do this. And
yeah,
I've been so insecure about many things in life, but I've always known that around this age, I would, in some way or form, share my knowledge.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're doing with the shop as well, which is just amazing.
Isn't that the coolest thing?
Yeah. It's really the coolest thing, yeah. And Phil, yeah, thanks so much for talking to me, Nicole, today, because really you do, yeah, you and Kat and House of Form are just wonderful women who really do, I know I'm not just speaking from myself as well, but others, and just really appreciate like mentors and people like you who just really do, yeah, are there for this kind of community as well of modern mystics. So feeling a bit emotional. Oh. I'm about to come on my period, so I'm feeling really emotional.
It's going to make me cry because I had an emotional day too. No, but it truly really makes us super happy and fulfilled to be able to share. And, yeah, and we learn at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So it's not just a giving. It's like a
yeah
exchange of
true knowledge. And also it's just nice to have, you know, within these community spaces, just to have people that, you know, like yourself, having grown up with Vinti traditions, like, you know, maybe we can also learn and honor those as well, just by understanding them more and then being able to pass along those, the wisdoms, the magic, whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely. That's what we're trying to do with the events. We're really trying to get mainly women from different cultures and backgrounds and beliefs into the place and teach.
Yeah.
Because we don't believe that there is just one thing.
Just one and one source of magic.
No.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, coming on to the sort of more specific topic, why you're also here to talk about spells. Mm-hmm. So when growing up with this family, was spell casting something that you also were taught, or is that something you picked up later?
Well, I didn't at the time realize that it was spell casting, because in Vinti tradition you don't name what you do actually.
Okay.
But there are rituals to, I don't like to use the word manipulate, but for lack of a better word, that's what I use. So that's what I think spell casting is. It's like a combination of manifesting and manipulating a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we used to do in a lot of Vinti rituals as well. We had one, for instance, when you go for travels. There was a ritual that we did for safe travels.
Ah, okay.
And that involves an egg and cloves. But the whole ritual around it and the word that my mother was speaking to us, that's actually broadcasting.
Yeah. You didn't realize it was just something. And I guess if you're in, you know, within your family dynamic, maybe sometimes you're just doing something and then you don't talk to others about it. And then you just think that's, you know, quote unquote normal. But then now I think, yeah, with also this, the spirituality space, like spell casting has become, well, it always has been, but I think now with more books published and the internet, it's much more accessible. But then, so you would kind of do these traditions and spells. So like you were saying, traveling, what were some of the other things that you would do around?
We would have a beautiful ritual, which is one of my favorite ones, around the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we call a sweet water, or if you translate it, sweet water.
Okay.
And it's making a bath. Actually, it's making a bath, but because in Suriname, they didn't have the luxury to have an actual tub.
Mm-hmm.
It is just made in a big basin. And you make a holy water. And it has a recipe, but it's also partly freestyle. You put in flowers, your favorite perfume, your favorite drink.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ingredients that you put in it. And while you make it, you sing.
Oh, wow.
Or you chant.
Okay.
Or you do an invocation.
Yeah.
Depending on what name you give to the singing. And that's a whole process in itself. And then finished, you let it be for a little. And then on New Year's Eve, you bathe yourself with it.
Oh.
And that's actually what we do with moon rituals. It's like letting the old go.
Yeah.
Saying thank you to your spiritual team, your ancestors.
Yeah.
The divine taking care of you. And also manifesting for the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for whatever you need in the new year.
Yeah. But I think...
to this day, I do that. No matter what I've
do
been.
You?
Yeah. I've been in Australia in a camper van.
You would still do it.
Yeah.
For New Year.
It marks the end of the year and the new year. And I...
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe if you wouldn't mind, you could share that so that we could do this in the new year, for the new year.
Definitely. It's been my plan. I did a little sharing last year on Instagram.
Yeah.
I showed people some of the parts that involves making it.
Yeah.
But it's been my plan to write it down. To to make it a bit more modernized, so a bit more accessible.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
Thank you.
I would love that. Well, I think I would love to, because I'm also really boring, and at New Year, I'm always at home, not in like any places like Australia, but I'm usually at home just watching something on Netflix and chilling out basically with my dog. So I would love to do a bath ritual on there.
And this is so beautiful because you can share this with your family.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that you just make for yourself. You make it for your whole family.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do it for your dogs, for your husband, your wife, your girlfriend. And it doesn't have to be like an intense, heavy ritual. It's just a beautiful
moment.
Thing. Yeah. Like what you share together.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, obviously only if you feel comfortable. But also I wanted to ask you, so from what I'm hearing, because I also chatted to Lulabelle Wellness on a topic on rituals, but what I'm hearing, and this is my also, this is, I really want to understand more in terms of like the spell work. So when you're saying, when you're making the kind of bath and you're setting that up, you're singing, is the spell that you're singing something that's in that sense more rigid, or is that something that you can kind of feel into and be a bit more intuitive with, would you say?
So we might want to dive into that a bit, because spell work and rituals, it all ties in, and magic, it all ties into each other. In my perspective, it's not one thing and magic is another thing and it's another thing. And I personally don't believe in rigid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I teach the customers in our shop when they ask, and they're like, oh, a bit scared or whatever. And I'm like, please don't be scared.
Yeah.
It's you, it's your energy, and you can make it as elaborate or as small as you want. And there are, you cannot do it wrong.
Right. If you have intention behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was listening to the episode with Athena Bailey.
Uh-huh.
And she had some interesting things about protecting yourself. And I was like, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Definitely. But in the sense of doing the actual work, you can't do wrong.
Okay. That's good to know.
If your intentions are pure.
Yeah.
You do it for the higher good of yourself and others. Anything you do is fine.
Yeah.
There's no specific words that you need to use or a specific sequence or.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. Yeah. That's cool. But then, so that's nice that when you're doing these rituals that you're basically kind of leaning into, if you're singing, then you're just being really intuitive with it, which is really nice to hear. Because I think sometimes, like also for me, being fairly new to the space, it's sort of, sometimes it can be quite confronting, especially if you've gone from, I know that you and Kat are also the same, like from a more corporate background, and you're kind of used to being quite structured and like needing to do things like really like perfectly and well. But then in this space, it is so much more about like honing your intuition. And it's for me, like actually to say spells out loud, that's something I don't think I've ever done. Like I'll sit and meditate and draw tarot and sort of that kind of thing. But I've never, even in moon circles I've been to,
I don't think I've even been to a circle where people have sort of chanted. So it could feel quite confronting for me. And I'm sure there's others as well that maybe would like to get started with like spells and rituals, but just would feel, I don't know, just kind of, I'm feeling anxious talking about it now. Yeah, overwhelmed. Like, do you have any tips maybe for people that might want to just, how do we like loosen up really?
That's 20 questions. Okay, first of all, just take it step by step, because this whole practice is can be overwhelming, mm-hmm. because it's so much and there's so much information and there are so many different ways of approaching it. So you might talk to me and then tomorrow you talk to someone else and she mm-hmm. would be like, oh no, that's absolutely, you shouldn't do it that way. So try to stay authentic and close to yourself. Go to a circle. Mm. Get yourself dragged your ass to a circle, because that will help you get out of your safe zone.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I can't sing. And don't laugh, because honest, I can't sing. Off key. I'm really bad. And you know, we have an opera singer in form love. So now I'm really scared to sing it.
In front of her. Yeah.
Definitely. But the first time I had to chant in front of people, I was so embarrassed. I felt so ashamed.
Yeah.
It helps to loosen up, you know. So you just go, you need to go and practice with other people. That will really help you open up and feel a bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
Get yourself a book. We have a really nice book at the shop.
Okay.
Look it up, because her name is kind of interesting. Her name is Samra Huxever, and she made Mama's Book of Magic.
I actually have this at home and I haven't read it yet. That's great. Good. I need to read it.
Homework.
Homework after this podcast now. Read this book.
She's amazing.
Okay.
She makes it so simple.
Yeah,
because it's really a spell casting can be as simple as getting a green. Let's say you need some money. Get yourself a green candle. Mm-hmm. Rub it in with your favorite oil or your favorite perfume. And while you're doing that, do an incantation. Could be like, by the power of three, a windfall of abundance come to me. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Moving it. And lighting that candle, you keep repeating that invocation.
I love that.
That's a spell.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You casted a spell.
Yeah, and it's so simple, but that's just like, even when you were saying that then, I was like getting chills. Like, there's a really simple but powerful one. And even just like, I know so many people could use that spell right now with the money one. It's a great one.
Or another one, I love candle magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me more.
Spice up things in the bedroom.
Uh-huh.
Write down the name of your partner or uh-huh. lover or whomever you're having with. Sprinkle a bit of cayenne pepper. Is that an English word?
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Like a spicy pepper.
Yeah.
Roll it up, tie it, and burn it over a red candle.
Interesting. Okay.
So it can be that simple, you know, I mean, I do spell work for clients and then I do elaborate ones.
Yeah.
Like crystals and whole setup, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
And it can be kind of daunting to, you know, you don't know where the east is and what was the thing with the water and the earth. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot to it. There can be a lot to it.
Yeah.
But it definitely doesn't have to be.
I think it's just lovely to hear these and that they are so simple, but I think adding that sort of voice and vocal piece to it is something that I need to work with more. So even just an example for my little ritual, I told you about it, but for the listeners. So every time I'm recording the podcast, I'm using the Creative Juice Smudging spray that is from House of Form, of course. And I'm spraying it around and sort of as I'm spraying it, I'm sending out the intention of, you know, this podcast will reach for the highest good. And like the conversation that we're going to have is to serve and help others. So that's the kind of like, I guess it, would you call this a spell? Could you call it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Intention setting.
Intention, yeah.
But because you make it a ritual.
Yeah.
It could be a spell. Usually a spell is a bit more like for a super specific thing you want to attract.
Attract. Okay. Okay.
But not necessarily. I mean, that's why I said we can dive into this, because it's a fine line between a ritual and a spell.
Yeah. And now you're now it's good that we talk, because it is, isn't it? It's a very fine line. So, okay, maybe we can go into that. So in your sort of description, Nicole, then, so a ritual is more, well, yeah. Could you actually maybe describe, rather than me probably doing a bad job of it, between a spell and a ritual?
I would say a ritual is a sequence of things you do in a certain order to create a certain outcome. And that could be anything. It could be a ritual for the New Year's, like a moon ritual. It could be a ritual for releasing. Like what you could do on a full moon. You're like, you know, a lot of things happened this month. I'm still bothered by this person or this situation. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to write. I'm going to journal. And then I'm going to burn it over some incense. That could be a ritual.
Right.
While a spell is more super specific on, I need money. I want to attract a lover. I am going for a job interview and I want them to choose me.
Okay. So it is that attracting in then, essentially, attracting in something that you kind of need. And I think it's just, it's reminding me of just like even just watching like old movies where you're casting a spell because you want to make that lover fall in love with you or whatever it is, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also there we have a fine line, because like what you just said, what you do in the ritual before you start the podcast, I believe that everything should come from a good place and also always with the purpose of serving your higher good and that of others.
100%. Yeah. That's a good point.
Manipulation, but manipulation that on the white side of things.
On the white side of magic. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, always for the purest good. Exactly. It's like to serve others. No, that's really good to hear. That's really nice. Actually, while I've got you, Nicole, this is definitely not what I had in mind, but I really want to ask you, because I have something from House of Form and maybe it's also incorporated into spell work. So I'm going to grab it quickly and then I'll show it and maybe you can tell me how to use this. Okay. I have two things that I would like your help with.
I'll have a sip of tea.
Okay, I'm bringing my witchy goods to the table. Here we go. Okay, so the first one, I hear that you know a lot about this, is the Florida water.
Yeah.
So I got this from House of Form, and I did put some on my hands recently when I had a particular bad day. And I just felt like I was like getting a lot of negative energy from people and it was sucking me in. So I kind of put this in my hands and just did a sort of like clearing around my body, just hovering over. So that was just something I sort of did a little look, and that was something that sort of felt quite intuitive for me. But do you have any tips for using Florida water?
Well, I'm kind of impressed with you.
Oh, thanks.
You just told me that you feel it's really hard to be intuitive, but that's exactly what you do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So Florida water, and I've been researching it a lot because I love it. It's one of my favorite tools.
Yeah.
It also, I think it brings me back to childhood. It's that smell that reminds me of home.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to find. But what I think happened is voodoo priests use like a flower water. And I think it's connected to what we do on the New Year's.
Okay.
Use a flower water to bless people, bless the earth, say thank you to the earth. Or clean objects, especially on an altar. It's always ritual based. And I think that somewhere along the line, a commercial company came in and made this flower water. And in South America, they were like, oh, that's easy. like the McDonald's sofa.
Oh God!
Water. Because it's actually a cologne from the US, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's just a flower cologne from the US, but it's used all over South America, not just in.
Ah, okay.
Also used by the shamans in Peru and mm-hmm. on Cuba, they use it. So that's super interesting. And I haven't found the complete history, so I will share that whenever I find it.
Yeah.
So what we do in the shop, we have it there, and uh-huh. we do the same thing as what you do. When we have people in, sometimes you're like, you're a bit iffy.
Whenever I come in.
Amy, oh my God.
Yeah. So, put the Florida water everywhere. Sorry.
We just pour a little in their hands for themselves to
okay.
and get into the zone. I do yeah. this when I do a reading for my clients.
Oh, nice. Okay.
When I start the session, I just pour a little in their hands and a little in mine. And I do the same thing that you just showed me.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, nice.
Super nice little marking of a start of a ceremony.
Yeah.
We cleanse jewelry. Mm-hmm. People buy jewelry with us in the shop. I always cleanse them with a little bit of Florida water.
Nice.
Touching it, you know?
So yeah.
When I clean my altar, I use Florida water. When I want to bring an offering,
okay.
I use Florida water. So it's a multi-purpose tool for blessing and cleansing.
Okay. And would you do any spell work with this or not really?
No, it could be part of the ritual, but it's not used in actual spell.
Okay, in like a day-to-day, yeah, of clearing energy. Yeah. Okay, thanks for that. And I have one more piece that I love. Maybe you could, for just listeners, tell me what this does and how to use it. So could you describe actually what it is?
It's a little glass bottle with pure gold in it and a black cap.
What's it called?
And we call it our prosperity bottle.
Prosperity bottle, okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. Because it's actually real gold flakes in water.
Okay. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is. And if you shake it like a snow globe, mm-hmm. you're attracting prosperity.
Ah, that's so nice.
Isn't it?
That's gorgeous. Yeah.
If you have an altar at home,
yeah,
you can just put on your altar.
I do. Oh, that's where it's been. Perfect. Okay.
And then once in a while you cleanse it with your Florida water.
Yeah.
Give it a little shake by the power of three. May a fuck ton of abundance come to me.
I love that. So you could just do a little spell at the same time when you're shaking it. Yeah, yeah. If you need to call in that prosperity. That's a nice one. Thanks, Nicole. Yeah, I've been dying to know because it's kind of been on my altar and it just looks beautiful. But yeah, I was thinking it would bring in prosperity maybe naturally. But yeah, maybe when I need a little shake up, it's good to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I know you've been talking to Kat about crystals and that goes for magic as well. Mm-hmm. I believe it only works when you work with it.
Right. If it's mm-hmm. just dormant. I agree. And I think that's what I'm struggling with a little bit at the moment is kind of I've collated a lot of witchy things recently, especially crystals, actually, which is the obvious one. I think, and I know it's maybe just there's no point being guilty about this, but maybe it's a subconscious thing is, yeah, I have an altar, there's crystals there and I see them every day, but it's not something, yeah, that I work with every day. But I guess it's okay. What's that?
Gracie Lace Agate.
Ah.
To go, by the way. So the whole time we're talking, I'm just fiddling.
Yeah.
With this stone because this is my creativity stone.
Oh, nice.
And this is the stone, you know, English is not my native language. So sometimes I struggle to find the right words.
And yeah.
Before we started this conversation, I was like, let's work with this.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And that's the little things you can do. That's why I'm...
Yeah, with the stones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the little things you can do and give meaning to your stones.
Yeah, right. So they, exactly. So they're not just sat there dormant and collecting dust, which is not what we want.
That's a waste. Like,
yeah,
like what you did with the Florida water. That's amazing. Or with the high five spray.
On
the
yeah.
PM, you have to
creative juice sprays. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a great way of incorporating magic in your life.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, thanks, Nicole. And I think, I've sort of spoken about myself a little bit in terms of how I would maybe feel a bit intimidated casting a spell. And I think I've always struggled with a bit of that blocked throat chakra. This is a kind of like reoccurring thing. I think for a lot of women in particular, actually, it's an issue. But are there ways that, you know, maybe are there small, you've already mentioned a few, but maybe is there like a really simple spell that maybe someone could do to start with connecting to the kind of more vocal spell work?
I so relate to this topic because Suriname culture is very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite the shy, more introvert person.
Yeah.
So for me, it was really scary to speak out loud.
Yeah.
Do my rituals and my spell work out loud. So I can really understand how scary it is, but I am such a supporter of doing it.
Just trying it, yeah.
Trying it, because it's also, once you start doing it, the words will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, it might feel a bit static and a bit like, oh, this is from a textbook. But if you do that every day, a little chant. Start with chanting.
Yeah.
You know, put it on really loud so you don't have to listen to yourself.
That's a good tip though, isn't it?
Right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then do some chanting. And then when you burn your incense,
yeah,
just talk to your incense like, may you bring peace, a peaceful evening to my house.
That's nice.
Short, small things that will help you get over that.
That fear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm still not the best one. Like, we had a circle, a women's circle on Días de los Muertos, on Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do an invocation. And I was like, oh, so many people here.
Yeah.
And they all look at me and they're like, oh, she's in the know, you know? And that scared me too.
Yeah.
Just do it, because it's a waste of time to be afraid.
100%. Isn't it funny though? Because I think it's sort of, we're so guilty of this, and maybe because we're both Scorpios, but maybe it's because we're so like, I don't know, like a little bit perfectionist sometimes and like wanting everything to be so like perfect. But actually, like, I think what I'm hearing is that, yeah, you can't really do anything wrong as long as you're kind of sending it out with good intentions and, yeah, and just giving it a go, right? Is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's it. That's really it. And actually, Catherine, my business partner, she helped me a lot on this, because she's like, yeah, just go for it and we'll do it. And I was like, oh, no, it's not good enough. And she's like, oh, we can work on it later. And she saw through, because I'm a procrastinator.
Yeah.
Want to make things great, and then I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do my altar because I don't have flowers, or mm-hmm. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
No. Just start with just lighting your incense, burning a candle, putting an intention on your crystal.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think they're really great tips, Nicole. Thank you so much. I am going to try and do this more. I think, I think there's definitely a lot of magic in it, isn't there, when you're saying something out loud and combining kind of the spell with the ritual, or, you know, what you've said, like blending the two. But yeah, I think you're right. Start small. I'm even like coaching myself into this now, because it's just, it is a bit of a scary one. But I think, you know, and some people, maybe this is just like, even they might even be doing it already, just at, you know, at home.
Without even knowing it, maybe.
Without even knowing it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Nicole. It's been just so, such a pleasure to talk to you on this topic, because yeah, it's kind of opened up my knowledge on your background as well, the Vinci magic, spell work, how to work with that. And yeah, I guess, would you just have any kind of last sharing tips or thoughts that you would want to share with listeners?
Yeah, we have a blog on the House of Formula, and we share our knowledge on the blog. We have things on crystals. We have things on rituals.
Yeah.
We wrote full guides on doing full and new moon rituals.
Oh, nice.
So that would be really helpful if you really have no idea where to start. Get yourself a modern magic book. Don't dive into the old ones because they're really complex and intense. And so get yourself a modern day magic book and just go out and do it and have fun.
Yeah.
Because it's fun. It makes me happy. And I think instead of seeing it as something you have to do, it's going to add something to your life. It's going to be so magical.
Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you. Maybe you should write your own book, actually. It would be awesome.
I have such a long to-do list. Let's start with the bath ritual. I really like that.
Start with the bath ritual. Yeah. But seriously, thanks, Nicole. It's been so awesome talking to you. And I hope that by listening to this, people at home will also feel a bit more maybe confident and thinking, you know, because even you just opening up earlier, that you also have that sort of just the voice freeze sometimes as well and around other people. And you've been practicing this since you were, you know, such a young girl. So I think it's also really reassuring as well for listeners. Right? Yeah.
It's a myth that there are all knowing people.
Yeah.
We're all struggling. We all have our own issues. And that's something I also really want to share. Like, don't feel like you can't do this. You can. Everybody can.
Yeah. Totally. If you're sending it out with right intentions, then that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Nicole. It's been awesome talking to you. Thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you. It was amazing. I was looking forward to this.
Me too.
Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast, the podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to follow us on Instagram to stay connected. And before we close, I'd just like to end with a very special thank you to my co-producer, George Lasbury. Stay well and see you soon.